The sutra introduces an outer element, namely mind, that when it flows through the body-brain system, it is called in the sutra the internal organ. All the other organs, including the brain, appear as if, mind the words, appear as if they are outer organs compared to this internal organ, the mind. Why it is internal organ? It is deep down inside the man's being. This element, the mind, is different from the brain, and the two should not be mixed up in our understanding. In one of the sutras, Patanjali says, the internal organ, the mind. Now you know all of our organs are internal, there is nothing external. And still if you call mind internal, it means it is so deep down in your being that is internal to the internal organs. It is so deep down. You get the point? But this element, mind, is an outside element. You do not possess mind as you possess your heart or your pair of lungs or whatever the organs are, or your hands or your feet or your brain. You do not possess mind as a possession. It is an outside element that enters your being. The thinking instrument and the thinking principle together, when they make improper use of the element mind, it becomes the cause of suffering and bondage. But when the same two together make proper use of the element mind, it becomes the cause of deliverance from suffering and liberation follows. So the same factors can lead to bondage or liberation depending on improper or proper use of the element mind. For mind as infinite mind or chitti can be enormously powerful if invoked. If you do not know the inner man, if you do not know this outside element, the mind, we cannot progress at all. That is why I say Yoga Sutra is not philosophy. The trouble when you indulge in philosophy is that you go into various thoughts, into argumentation, not into experience. Yoga Sutra, therefore, see as you read the ABC, Yoga Sutra tells you experience at every step. Unless you experience, your questions will not be answered. If I tell you sugar is sweet or thinning is very odd in taste, you'll say, okay, you'll shake your head. But taste of sugar or the taste of thinning, you will never know. Unless you experience. Experience is such a thing that cannot be understood, cannot be made to understand, cannot be transferred from one to the other. For experience, I can only say, please do this, you might experience this.
So, experience is facilitated by theory.
Yes, the theory is that I will tell you, do this practice and you will experience this. If you are honest and do that practice and do not experience, you come and tell me that what you have told me is a lie.
No, what I mean, sir, is inner man, experience of inner man, which I don't have today.
Yeah.
Will it be facilitated by knowing this facility that inner man is shapeless, as it will form shape and all that?
These are only very, very vague terms to make you grasp a little. Because it is very difficult to exactly tell you what the inner man is. I can only give you some idea. In using all these terms, I am giving you some idea. But the total idea will come to you the day you will practice and you will experience. That is why Yoga Sutra is called scientific yoga. Because all the practices that any one of you will undertake will give you the same result that I am talking about. Otherwise, it is not scientific, oh, I am misleading you. I am not giving you the correct picture. But see, just to give you a picture, I am using some very vague words, you see, because I cannot describe this. You get it? If you are not gone to catch me, to say that, you know, the lake is like this and the trees are like this, you get no idea, you see. You may imagine the way you would like to imagine. And if 10 people are hearing me, they will imagine 10 different ways of Kashmir in the eyes. You get my point? But if they will go to Kashmir, all 10 will experience Kashmir. So by words you can give only a rough idea. What you may expect to experience, you get my point? More than that, words cannot do anything. You get my point clearly? The thinking in science, you have done the, no? Besides the outer and inner man, the sutra talks of the spiritual man within. This spiritual man is called the Ishvara in the sutra. This spiritual man has no shape, form, color, light, nor needs brain, manas or mind. It is Atma and the very essence of Paramatma, normally the witness, that is, the divine fragment of the divine wholeness. This, at first, is merely a mental grasp. This is also not experience. Yes. Then we are told about the functions of the body-brain system with proper or improper use of the element mind, giving us two different intensities, that is 2482 and 5221 in our thinking instrument. Due to obstacles and hindrances created by improper use of the element mind, prevent the body-brain system from ideally functioning and why? Such obstacles and hindrances are enumerated in the sutra that obstruct and hinder. Is it clear to you? Is this clear to you? What are the obstacles and the hindrances? What is the difference between an obstacle and an hindrance? One has to be clear in one's understanding as to what we are talking about. What are the obstacles and what are the hindrances? What is the difference between an obstacle and a hindrance? They are enumerated in the sutra as these are the obstacles and these are the hindrances. The difference between an obstacle and a hindrance is that one is developed by oneself as obstacles. Hindrances are in the nature of a hindrance to the whole of humanity. If I cannot run at more than 25 miles an hour, that is the limit of the human race, you see. But if I can't walk at 2 miles an hour, it is an obstacle of my body because of my certain weaknesses, of my own self. But any man trying to run at 25 miles an hour or more with that speed, it's a hindrance. The human body has a limitation, you see. So you have to understand what is an obstacle and what are hindrances. The sutras make these very clear. Also it clears whether by removing them we can achieve something. If you remove the obstacles and if you overcome certain hindrances as a race, we become super human being. Why is the word superman used, a superhuman being? A person who has gone beyond his own obstacles and the hindrances that mankind in general experience. Then he is called a superman. In yoga, there are practices that help you to overcome the obstacles and the hindrances. The sutra informs us the cause of such obstacles and hindrances and we are shown how to remove these obstacles and hindrances. What purpose has the element mind? In what manner can it be properly used, or if misused, what are the consequences? You see, all these things have to be clear in your mind and can then be an experience in yourself. If you do not know these things by themselves, what are you going to do? How are you going to progress? You must know these first, that these are factors which we have to overcome, which we have to experience, whatever they are, you see. But unless we are unaware of all these, what are we doing? We can't do a thing. If we do not know that we are an inner man, if we do not know there is an outside element, the mind, if we do not know that we can make proper use and also improper use of this element, mind, we will not be able to do anything. We must know these first and then know how to do correctly, what are the practices, and then experience. All this has to be experienced, that there is an outer body man, there is an inner man, that both can communicate, that both have certain obstacles and hindrances, that these hindrances and obstacles can be removed. All this must be understood. Then there is an outside element called mind. We can make proper use of it, we can make improper use of it, and if we make improper use of it, what are the consequences, how do we suffer because of that? Unless we know this, we can only parrot like talk. We can't do anything else. But wherever you go, in beautiful language people talk philosophy, but do not come to, as we say, brass tacks. We must first come to brass tacks. Do you understand? This is very, very, very necessary. Various yoga sadhanas are shown to calm the body-brain system along with the body-manas system and the use of the element mind to heal the outer as well as the inner man. The warning is given that these practices by themselves do not bring about illumination. You see, this is also told there, that because of practices, because of following certain methods, you do not get yourself illuminated. You see, that point is very clear. Practices don't give you illumination. Practices remove the obstacles and the hindrances that prevent you from one day being illuminated. That must be also clear in your mind. A warning is given that these practices by themselves do not bring about illumination, but they serve to remove obstacles and hindrances that prevent progress. Just as a wise farmer prepares his soil and removes the weeds that would otherwise damage the harvest. Otherwise, his planting the seeds and the rain will not help. If he has not prepared the ground, if he has not removed the weeds, the rain may fall, he may put the seeds, and more than half the harvest will be ruined. So, like a farmer, we have to see that we remove the weeds and prepare our soil. That is very essential. When obstacles and hindrances are removed and proper use of the element mind is made, an individual knows himself or herself as he or she is in reality. For up till now, there was only a wrong identification with the outer man and his body-brain system. Is this clear now? Is this clear now? When obstacles and hindrances are removed and proper use of the element mind is made, an individual knows himself or herself as he or she is in reality. For up till now, there was only a wrong identification with the outer man and his body-brain system. You see? You have to know what an outer man is, you must know what an inner man is, you must know what are the obstacles, you must know what are the hindrances, you must know the communication between the outer man and the inner man, you must know the various practices, you must perform those practices. Then only something will be achieved, otherwise nothing. But you must be conscious of all these. If you are not conscious of all these, you will not know in which direction to go. With all your enthusiasm, you will not know in which direction to go. This is very important. Whenever the outer man with his breathing, the chest become rhythmic, synchronizes with prana intake of the inner man, this is also to be rhythmic, and both function together as one, and also make proper use of the element mind. This complex human system, which is quite different from any other life, is now ready to know, surrender willingly, and be guided by the spiritual man within, the Ishvara, the Guru Deva, as the sutra indicates. What is proper and improper use of the element mind? The infinite mind known in sastras as Chitti is all-pervading and all-powerful. It is the substance from which all the three universes spring up, as also all the contents of the three universes, including all life and awareness. It has tamas, rajas, sattva in immeasurable dimensions, yet all the three qualities are at rest and never in turmoil at any moment. This is its immense power. The brain and manas together of the complex human system can churn any or all of the qualities in abundance in any proportion that is permutation and combination to give results from extremely wicked to extremely sublime. Is this point also clear? That there is an element we call mind. It is called the infinite mind. In sastras it is called the chitti. And in the sastras there is no word like sin, there is no word like bad. There is no word like evil. There is no word like sin. The sastras are very simple. They say that there are three qualities that rule a human being. All life and awareness. We talk about human beings because we are dealing with human beings. So we say that there are three qualities, tamas, rajas, sattva. These three qualities rule a human being. Proportion of these, that rajas, tamas and sattva will rule a man differently. All these three qualities are in abundance in divine mind, infinite mind or chitti. The brain of man is able to churn as much of any or all the qualities he would like to have. And by churning he can be the most wicked or the most sublime of human beings. The process is churning. Then the sutra will teach you what is to churn, how to churn, why not churn this, how much to churn this, you see, or how to have a balance of these three qualities. All these the sutras teach. Unless you are aware of all what you have to learn, how you have to learn and in which direction to go, where will you go? Get my point. There may be a bus service, there may be a train service, there may be a plane service. And if you do not know where we are going, which train or bus or plane we will take, you get my point. That is why the sutras are important. First, the sutras tell you these are the factors, be aware of them. Then they teach how we can make use of them. And then we are told how to make proper or improper use. Proper use will do this, improper ways will do this. Everything is made clear to us. That is why the sutras are so important. But unless all this was enumerated to you, you will not know in which direction to go. You get my point clearly?
So what is the
exercise? But the brain and manas can do so strictly depending on the individual structure of acceptance on sanskar and within the spectrum. Nothing more, nothing less. If you do not know the practices and the methods, and even if you want to churn, you will not be able to churn because your structure will churn as much as the structure will allow. This structure is called sanskar. See? If the wings are small, the bird will fly up to a certain height. When the wings are large, the bird flies to very great height. This wing that we talk about is the structure of a bird. The structure of a human being, he will be able to churn as per his own structure. First he must know what the structure is. Then he must know how to change the structure. You see, there are so many things to be aware of, there are so many things we have to do. If we don't do this and understand this, we'll be just stopped for eternity and no progress will be possible. Proper use leads to rhythm and balance, and improper use leads to great turmoil and suffering. The individual is then described by the intensities 2482 and 5221. This we have learnt much long ago. Guidance fortunately now is available from Ishvara, who will guide the individual on to the higher stages of Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. These four steps cannot be learned from an external guru, nor should any external guru presume to do this. If the two, that is body-brain and body-mana system, surrender willingly to the spiritual man within, Ishvara, the Gurudeva, then the element mind, including the infinite mind, or chitti, is not needed. It is then an obstacle to further progress, because in Ishvara, the Gurudeva, as the sutra says, knowledge extends into infinity. As Ishvara is the teacher of the primal laws, but even infinite mind now is an obstacle. You see? As you go step by step, one day you invoke upon the infinite mind to guide you. When you go still further and have communication with your own inner divine self, at that time even mind will be an obstacle. Because to the actual higher practices, you will be guided from within. No outer teacher can teach you what is dharana, what is dhyana, what is samadhi. All those who presume to teach are only presuming, nothing more. All that can be taught is how all these various things could be put right by the first four steps, yama, niyama, asana, sadhana. These four can be taught. These four can be explained. Pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi cannot be taught by an external guru. One must not presume to teach this. This can be taught by the divine fragment itself. That is why it is the only Gurudeva. There is no other guru. Whenever the individual, with the guidance of Ishvara, has taken the last four steps, he or she acquires great psychic powers automatically. These different psychic powers are enumerated in the sutra and also explain how by dana in the different sensitive areas, chakras of the psychic body-mana system, they could be acquired. Such practices are to be done strictly under the guidance of Ishvara. But when these psychic powers are set aside and understood as mere obstacles to one's real progress, one then reaches the fourth stage. Ishvara guides, as it becomes apparent to the individual, the life in all the three universes is pain only. The sutra first teaches how to call upon one's own Ishvara, the Gurudeva, and receive guidance. For without this vital step, one cannot proceed along Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. But this sutra warns that at any stage there is the possibility of taking a wrong step or harboring a wrong thought due to the presence of old and ancient memory patterns. Because memory is indestructible. Therefore, memory, all ancient and present memory, one should be able to bypass whenever needed, or even permanently, and one must remain in such a state always. Methods are shown as to how this can be done and reach and then maintain the state as shown in diagram 3b. If memory is bypassed, one can live the normal life of a householder and yet simultaneously can function on the highest plane. This is meditative attitude or the fourth stage. It is a stage of effortless effort on the path. It is ordained. that one must leave the life of a householder and also follow the dual path, for it is the true test of enlightenment. One now understands that the possession of psychic powers is an obstacle and works consciously towards deliverance and ultimate liberation. One now loses all linking for, one now loses all liking for one's own form or for any other form in any of the three universes. Now the individual is ready for conscious liberation from body brain and also body manas system. The conviction that neither the body brain system nor the body manas system nor both together is the real I. The only real I is Ishvara firmly settled. Nothing further remains to be done. One can now consciously take exit from life and birth cycle for all time by disintegrating all forms. These are the various thoughts expressed in Yoga Sutra. Not only the thoughts expressed in Yoga Sutra, but there are methods and techniques shown in the Yoga Sutra. And if one will follow this step by step, then results will be automatic.
About psychic powers, sir, yes. It's an obstacle in our way. Now, once you get that power, you can't throw it away. It's a power.
So if you have one money, you can't throw it away.
Assume that all these enlightened people, they have the right power. They don't use it, but they have it.
As long as you don't experience, you have to presume many things.
They cannot use it, but
they do not know whether in the first place they are psychic power. Secondly, you do not know whether they really don't want to use it. Thirdly, you don't know whether they are using it at times when it suits them, because we have not experienced it, my friend. You get that point? You to know me and me to know you, we must be on equal level. Till then, we have to presume that we know each other. Is that clear?
The second thing, sir, you said about this second body. It also takes shape to develop and all that.
Then,
now can you see?
Then communications are developed.
No, when can you see?
We have to see. Not I, but you will see.
So you can see.
I can see it. I can make use of it.
You can see our bodies also.
I can see your bodies also. Otherwise, there is no meaning. I should not talk if I can't do that simple thing. And because I see your primary body, if you come and tell me that I have done all the practices, I will not believe it. Because your primary body will betray that certain practices have not been followed. See? It is that simple. This is the very alphabet of yoga. See, this is not a high talk. These are the very essentials, the alphabets of yoga. Once we know the alphabet, then we join simple alphabets, C-A-T, C-A-T, R-A-T, R-A-T. Then we know what the C-A-T, C-A-T means. Then we know what the R-A-T, R-A-T means. Then we form a sentence. After forming a sentence, we can form a paragraph. Slowly we learn to read and write. And then slowly we learn to understand the book. Life is that book. Yoga Sutras are those alphabets that by putting together you will form sentences and paragraphs and learn to read the book of your life, not otherwise. Otherwise, it will be philosophy. You get my point? How many thoughts are there here? Plenty of thoughts. Not only the Yoga Sutra tells, but the Yoga Sutra shows how we have to do it, how we have to experience all this. Without experience, all else is of no avail. It talks about memory. You have just asked me whether I could see the astral, mine and yours. I am telling you, we have to see memory itself. We have to see our own memory. Unless we see our own memory, our own past ancient memory, we will not know why we are today what we are. There are practices to see this past and ancient memory and to learn from it how we are today, what we are, and what we can be tomorrow by making use of improving upon these memory patterns. There is so much to learn. I only enumerated what can be learned from Yoga Sutra. The Yoga Sutra, as we will come to it directly, we will know what we have to do. And if we do, then we will experience something. If you don't, this is only a waste of time for you and for me both.
Can you explain a little more why the infinite mind becomes an obstacle?
You see, the question is, will you explain why the infinite mind becomes an obstacle? In the first place, we must know what an obstacle is. Right? We must know what an obstacle is. Obstacle is something that obstructs. Correct? If you put it in a simple manner, an obstacle is something that obstructs. Right? First, the obstacle may be my various weaknesses. Later on, when I have improved upon all these, when I have learned the ways of communicating with infinite mind, I just stated that at that time I will be able to automatically gather psychic powers. Communication with the mind one day will become synonymous with having psychic powers. Because all the infinite power is in infinite mind. If I do not want to play for millions of years with my psychic powers, I will know that mind therefore is an obstacle. I give up not the mind but the psychic powers, which are the direct consequence of communication with infinite mind. You have read the Arabian Nights. You know the jinn. The jinn is the divine mind, the infinite mind, the tremendous power of doing anything you want within a minute. That mind first becomes very lovely to achieve. This psychic power becomes great aim to achieve. And you take out tanku in your hand, and you take out some eye roll in the end, and namaskar. See? And then I will have that only. I will continue with my chamatkar and I will continue to receive your namaskar. And I will sit there for millions of years. Like a great, great, great God. Oh, that fellow is a great God. That's all. That great God remains a great God for millions of years. So now it has become obstacle. When you know that this psychic power has been thrown away, that there is something even beyond. And let me learn directly.
After showing some miracles to the disciples, then it can be thrown away.
Yes, it will be shown one day. Someday it might be awkwardly shown also. Pardon? See, this is something everyone is very anxious about. One day when I will tell each one of you your inner secrets that you so fondly hide from the world, you will slightly have some idea whether I can read with those psychic powers. Just if you want proof, I will give you proofs one day. Anyone is welcome to get those proofs. You see, this is the whole trouble. Unless you show psychic powers, you are not accepted. This is the beauty in our human brain. Buddha did not demonstrate any psychic power, not once. He even told Anandji, Anandji, do not preach the religion through miracles, because all religions are preached through miracles. Christ had his own miracle, Krishna had his own miracle, everyone had miracles. And because a man was able to show some miracle, his ideas were followed as religion. I thought a few thousand years back our mind was primitive, but I didn't expect our mind to be primitive even today. But primitive or not primitive, any one of you is at liberty to test such power. You are welcome. But when you will test, do not be awkwardly ashamed. That is all I can say. And you can try. Try it. Achha. That's besides the point. What we are saying is that when we do all these techniques, like byproduct of an industry, psychic powers will come to us. And like money in material world, psychic powers are very, very much tempted. They are temptations by themselves on the path. And to live like an ordinary man is very difficult without expressing those psychic powers. That is why there was only one great soul, Rama, who lived like a human being. Manushya Charitra. He did not show that he was a god. He lived like an ordinary human being. You understand me? It is very difficult. It is very easy immediately to show something. But not to show is very difficult. Even if somebody were to deliberately excite me and say, "Oh, you have no psychic powers," I'll say, "Thank you." But I repeat again, any one of you is at liberty to get the individual test in any different manner that you like. Now besides this, let us come to the very basis of this Yoga Sutra, that we as human beings, we live from hour to hour without knowing how we are living, where we are going, what is the purpose, how to achieve that purpose, is there a way to achieve that purpose. All these thoughts are not answered. If you live like that, what is the difference between the animal world and the human world? Nothing. They eat, they drink, they sleep, they are awake, they have sex, they have children, they have family, they get angry, they get happy. What is the difference between the animal world and the human world? We should be human and we should be in a position to be called human. Having a human shape does not make us human beings. Unless we live like human beings, we have no right even to call ourselves human beings. See? How are we different? In what manner are we different? They are ignorant of all the facts that we are ignorant of. In what manner are we human beings? Yoga Sutra will give you first-hand experience that you are human beings as different from other life, all type of other life. But nothing will be served to you on a platter. You will have to work. You will have to work. As Gurdjieff, as Ouspensky said, work on oneself. This is absolutely essential. Without that, nothing will be given. You go on asking me question, I'll go on answering your question, will be nothing but a collection of many, many thoughts, having no proof, no guarantee that they are right or they are wrong. Get that point. If you people have come here It means that you are seeking something. Even if you are seeking in the material world wealth, you have to work for it. See? Maybe that some sanskar, maybe that a fool even can inherit great wealth. But those are sanskar that give certain things. On the path, a fool is not never born, so that his sanskar will give him a gift of spiritual understanding. You get my point? This is very essential. Here you will have to work. If you work in particular direction, well and good. For yourself you will know how you are, where you are. You might one day know for yourself that you have got certain psychic powers. Whether you would like to make use of that psychic powers for once and then throw them away, all this is up to you. But psychic powers or no psychic powers, certain things have to be done. We have to refine ourselves, we have to upgrade ourselves, we have to know how we are structured. Is it a fact that we are not only the outer physical body, that we are a complex human system, that within us is God Himself residing? Can that God be seen? Can there be communication with Him? All these questions are answered if you put your mind and brain to this and work. But if you tell me that, oh, just now I have such tension on my head, just now my health is giving me so much trouble, sometimes this is that, if your sometimes does not end, this will never be effective. Then you will be always very anxious to remove the something that is in your life. And there will be no end of removing that something, because that something will always come in your life. Because you have not prepared yourself to put it out of your system. So unless this becomes an obsession, not only something that you like, it must become an obsession in your life, then progress with it. Otherwise, he has just told me, if you don't learn, it is my fault. And I will not excuse myself by saying that because you have not practiced, I can't help it. But in your own interest, I will say that all these practices and techniques are very, very necessary. You have to do them. Unless you do them, how will you progress? What do you want to achieve? Tell me, some of you, what do you want to achieve? What is the goal? What is the goal?
No, apart from that, just your one sentence earlier, all great things, good things of my life, I got gratis, my brain, whatever it is.
Ask for it. If I prove that you ask for it, then?
My brain, whatever it is, capacity to see, feel.
You ask for it. You didn't. Our memory is so short that 8 days back what I had for my lunch, you can't say I didn't have lunch 8 days back. My friend. Memory failing is no excuse.
In fact, if it was a matter of asking, I would have asked to be no president.
Unfortunately, why did you not? And tomorrow you will not ask. Because you are not prepared to ask. I'm not joking. Knock and it shall be opened unto you, said Christ. But as doctor just now said, we can rub our nose 25,000 times on the door and the door will not open. Because we do not know how to ask. But we do ask wrongly. And that is why we get a body, we get a brain of certain limitations. Nothing is given to us gratis. That is against the very philosophy of life. Against all religions, that we have got something which you have not asked for. You have asked for this body, you have asked for this brain, and you have asked for everything else. Nothing has been given to you free and gratis. that because I forget when I ask what, that does not mean that it has come to me unasked for. And why should not illumination come my way? And why should it go to someone else?
And why should it be left by feeble hands, such a small,
because you have asked incorrectly. This sutras tell you how to ask
correctly. That is the whole difference.
We normally ask incorrectly. When we are on the path, we learn how to ask correctly.